This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, 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 yes.
There's the siren. Arms in the air. That has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
Bunch of boys can't get enough when the girls don't need your love. Cool says boys don't cry.
This is Gay FL.
That's right, you're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show, and this is your host, Blendon.
And I'm Chris.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am living my best gay life tonight, and I'm not sure why I'm getting a bit of a reverb in my mic, but that's another story. No, I am good at recovering from a really exciting weekend for us.
We did. You were listening to Wellness Wednesdays just before. It was such a great show. We're always listening to them. But we were also throwback to Kesha, We Are Who We Are. Such a classic, such a banger. And the reason why we were playing a bit of Kesha, K-E-$HA, is because we went and saw Kesha this weekend.
We sure did. And we're actually going to be playing a couple of songs of artists that we're into at the moment because we saw Kesha and Lorde on the weekend.
What a weekend of queens. It was crazy. I cannot believe how crazy it was. I don't know about you, but it was such a celebration of a fun time. Amazing people. Everyone was just there for the same reason and everyone just wanted to have fun. I don't know. It was just great. And I tell you what, I'm not as young as what I used to be. Going to Lorde and going to Kesha two nights in a row, I was a little bit tired afterwards.
Yeah, I'm going to say I was as well, just between you and me.
Look, we wore comfortable shoes. We had a great time. But yeah, go ahead, you.
And sometimes anything for the plot is worth it.
Exactly. But unfortunately, this isn't a show about pop divas. This is a show about AFL.
I suppose it is. As much as we'd love it to be about pop divas. And just before we get into our show about AFL, I just want to do a shout back to Wellness Wednesday or Knowing You, who was on just before.
Yeah.
And so, as always, we follow their show and we're always very happy to follow their show. They have invited us on next week.
Yeah, we're going to be guest starring on Talk Therapy to Me next week, which we're both very excited about.
Yeah, very happy to be joining Maxie and Ash. That will be actually really cool to have. We're going to be not talking about football, which will be a change for us. We're going to be doing a deep dive into work burnout with them.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I'm really excited to be sitting down with some professionals and not paying for it.
I know, it makes a change for us.
My psychologist must be so happy. But no, jokes aside, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a very valuable conversation talking about burnout. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
It absolutely is, and thanks for inviting us on. Now, actually, speaking of other things that I wanted to mention at the top of the show, as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation today, feel free to text in on 0427 Joy 949 or using the Joy app.
Yeah, shoot us a text. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we just announced the Wellness Wednesday cutover, but we actually have another little announcement today.
We do. Very excited.
So stay tuned on our Instagram a little bit later on tonight or tomorrow. We are going to be launching a tipping competition for our lovely listeners out there. It is just social. It is a bit of fun, a bit of banter.
A bit of bragging rights.
No one is going to be made to feel bad.
There are no winners, except who wins. We're going to brag about you.
Yes, and we will be doing a closed comp just for people. We will put a code on our Instagram if you want to join it, so you can use an alias if you're worried about your identity, but only people in the comp will see it. It's on the official AFL site.
Yeah, so anyone that's interested, we'd love you to join us.
Yeah, and also you can have a bit of fun, and the only people we'll make fun of is ourselves and how badly our tipping is.
We're pretty good at that, though.
Sometimes. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of you out there that are going to have going to give us a run for our money this year.
So I guess tipping aside, one thing we really want to talk about, I mean, we're into our sophomore season.
Our future nostalgia.
And one thing we kind of wanted to pay attention to and pay a bit of respect was some of the great guests that we've had, and you know, that they were really generous with their time and wanted to come and sit down with us and have a chat with us. So I guess we want to do a little bit of a where are they now? What are they up to? So our first guest, a friend of the pod, the amazing, the man of the year himself, Mitch Brown. Very excited. He's going to be co-hosting Mardi Gras this weekend.
I know. That is very exciting. And I'm very keen to see what he brings to the... It is their... Lou is up there with him, his partner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's their first Mardi Gras.
Very exciting. I'm looking forward to listening. I'm looking forward to watching. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Mitch has to wear.
Oh, I know. He did wear... They both wore stunning outfits to the gala last night. Mitch rocked... I'm going to call it a kilt. I don't know if that's the right term.
Look, I think all due respect, we love you, Mitch, but, you know, when you've got that physique, you can wear whatever you want.
He's got the legs for it. And, you know, and it's not just Mitch that we've had on our show before. We also had the wonderful author, Darcy Green, and we talked with them about their AFL-adjacent male-male romance.
Yeah, AFL, heated rivalry of AFL after the siren.
Yes, if you binge-watched Heated Rivalry, the book was amazing to go back to Darcy's book, and they got greenlit for another like a sequel, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very curious to see where they go with that, because they did kind of drop a couple of hints that they were doing. It was going to be in the same universe, mm-hmm, and they're going to be using a character.
Yeah.
They're very tight-lipped, which is very exciting. So that'll be good. I look forward to that.
I know I'll be reading that when it comes out. Mm. And also on our show... We had
Libby Birch, North Melbourne legend, superstar, absolute icon. We had an interview with Libby last year.
And four-time premiership winner.
Yeah. Probably the best in the game at the moment, if I do say so myself. We had a lovely chat about their book, Libby's Footy Adventures.
Yeah.
Libby is enjoying some very well-deserved downtime.
Yeah, I'm really glad she's getting her off-season and having a little bit of a break. I think that is very well needed after the season those ladies had.
Absolutely. I mean, when you win that many premierships, I think you should enjoy some downtime and just hang with the family, hang with the kids, and just enjoy your best life.
Oh, why not?
Moving on, we had Samuel Roberts, cabaret comedian, star on the rise. Samuel had the amazing FAAG, Footballers Are a Godsend. He's really funny, really touching, really poignant. Cabaret show. We actually saw that as a part of Midsummer, and Samuel has taken his show to the Adelaide Fringe Festival next month.
Yeah, so and we have a few listeners over there in Adelaide, obviously my hometown over there. The Fringe is always amazing. So if you're interested in the show, feel free to check it out, because we enjoyed it.
Fringe is such a great experience, and it's pretty cool that Samuel's able to take his show there. But it's going to be at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival coming up in April.
He's coming back, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, definitely look out for that.
And you may have caught us a few weeks ago speaking with Courtney from the under-18. She's the coach of the under-18 Central Districts Football Club in the Development League in South Australia. And very exciting for Courtney and her Bulldogs. They are going to play their first ever game this Saturday. And I reached out to Courtney earlier today and I was like, you know, your first game is on Mardi Gras Day. Coincidence? Maybe it's a sign.
I think it is a sign. Wait,
praise Kylie. So good luck to the Bulldogs getting out there this weekend. We are going to be keeping our eyes very peeled on that score.
Yeah, yeah.
And hope they get the W. And if you caught our last episode with the last guest, we had Natalie from the Kyneton Women's Football Club, the Wedgetail Eagles.
Yep,
and
yep.
We mentioned on the show last week that they finally got the green light to go ahead. And so they are frantically preparing for their first game.
You can't see it, but I'm clapping right now. That's so exciting. I can't wait for that first game. And we will definitely be there cheering that team on.
Yeah, we are going to do everything we can to get up there and get among the ladies up there in the wedgies and show our support as GAFL and footy fans.
Exactly. So, yeah, definitely go back if you haven't heard those episodes. They're on, you can find them on joy.org.au.
Oh my God,
look at me stumbling. I'm just so excited.
/GAFL.
That's right. Also, you can find GAFL on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
Or wherever you get your podcasts. And you know what? That was a really great little summary and a great shout out to go back and catch some of those old episodes if you need more GAFL action on and off the air. But what we're going to go to right now is a really quick message and one of our favorite songs from Lord, the other artist we saw on the weekend, coming up is Perfect Places.
Every night I live and die. Feel the party to my bones. Watch the wasters blow the speakers. Feel my guts beneath the outdoor light. It's just another graceless night.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. Welcome back to Gay FL on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris and I'm here with Brendan.
It's Blendin, and that was Lord Perfect Places. Oh my God, what a song. I have a bone to pick with Lord, an amazing artist and so creative. Mm. So apparently, what was I most devastated about on that concert?
The song she didn't play?
She didn't do Solar Power. And apparently, I heard from a little birdie.
Ooh.
She played. She sings live.
Yeah.
She sang Solar Places on night two on Sunday when we were at Kesha. So
aww.
I can't believe it. But yeah, what a tune.
I don't have a bone to pick with her. That show was
awesome. It was great. So yeah.
Now, it's really funny actually because you made a comment a few weeks ago on the show that I'm sort of a little bit more across rules and stuff, and you're kind of more across drama and gossip, which I absolutely love that balance. And so I thought I would just throw to you, because there have been 7 major rule changes that have just previewed last week in the trial matches and are going to go into the men's AFL season this year. And to take us through these rule changes, Brendan, take it away.
The concept for the video circus is basically about, you know, a circus.
No, I'm not going to do it. You're the rules and stats. I'm drama and gossip. Are you going to sit and read the full 75-page rule book right now?
No, not right now, but I am going to download it. I did promise that last week.
You need to download and highlight some, and maybe you can give some suggestions and send them to Andrew Dillon.
I feel like I need to get my sticky notes and just kind of, yeah. But I wanted to just, we touched on them last week, but now we've seen them in action, because I will point out, we'll come to this later, I went to one of the trial matches on the weekend because I happened to have the day off work and I missed men's football because I hadn't seen it in a long time. So I went, I caught the train 2 hours and back to the hangar.
You went to a cracking game.
It was amazing, against Richmond, which I'll come to later. But so one of the rules that people might be across or might be familiar with from the past is the 666 rule, just about the placement of players at the start of play where the bounce goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there has been one minor change, but I think it's a really good one where it's no longer going to be a requirement for one player per team to start in the goal square.
I feel like every time we're watching a game, there's some really obscure games like that. Obscure rules like that.
Yeah.
I feel like the 666 is one I'm always like, it doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, I mean, it does to me, but I understand watching from an outside. Mm. The purpose is to stop either the goal square or to stop the centre square getting clogged and play getting stalled.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, and so they've actually changed this rule to move the person out of the goal square as a mandatory requirement in conjunction with the other rule, which is this is possibly the biggest rule change in modern AFL, which is the bounce is gone. So the bounce is just gone. It's dead. It's just not happening anymore.
Wait, explain.
So the centre bounce, or any time there's a stoppage where they would bounce the ball, it's now going to be completely throw-ups.
Oh, interesting.
So the bounce is gone, and it's going to stay gone by all accounts, which is, like I said, it's literally about the biggest change in the rules. Like, and there are a lot of people that have a lot of thoughts about this. Having watched it in a game, I think who hasn't seen a really important moment in a game where there's come to a center bounce and it's been a bad bounce, they've had to recall, and the play gets completely stalled, and it's just boring to watch.
Is that, do you think that's what the reason why they've introduced the new
it
rule?
Is, because they apparently want to keep the game going? Yeah, and most of these rules are to make the game faster.
Yeah. It does seem like a lot of these rules that they're introducing for 2026, they're trying, you know, they're throwing a lot of things at the wall to try and make the game a faster game.
Yeah, a lot of these rules are. And there are 3 that kind of go really crucially together. There's 666 rule with the goal square. There's the bounce being replaced with a throw up. And there's also the fact that the ruck craft is changing slightly, and Max Gorn has had a lot to say about this. I'm going to defer to Max as to, you know, who's got the right thing to say about this. I'm not an expert. I don't play football. His concerns are that ruck craft is dying, but essentially the rucks are not allowed to take each other on, are not allowed to cross the line before they take each other on. It's to try and get them to jump, to go back to jumping bounces like we used to see in the 90s and the early 2000s instead of, so they'll throw the ball up and jumping instead of kind of bodying the player out the way. And if you think about this from the, I think what the logic of the AFL is, if you're going to throw up the ball and not stall it, the rucks are going to not stall it because they're going for the ball, not the body. And then, and the goal square is not going to be clogged. The goal, for lack of a better term, of the AFL is to get the ball out of the center square to the goals as quickly as possible, as often as possible, which is, if it works, and in the one practice game I've watched, it did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did it go at the practice match?
I thought the rule worked really successfully at the practice match, and particularly as an Essendon fan, our new ruck is was, you know, seemed to be quite enjoying it. It's his second season, and he was Lockie, I think it is. So it was actually really interesting watching that develop, you know, game on. But I think what I would consider, obviously the bounce is, you know, probably one of the biggest, well, the biggest rule change ever. But there is a one that I consider also really large, and we talked about this last week, but I got some clarification. Thank you, Jade, for clarifying. But what we call the lasso rule, it's affectionately known as, which is a rule in the W, where when the ball is in the 50-meter arcs, it's the same rule as it's always been. It's either a free-in or a throw-in or a free kick. But when you're between the center arcs, in the center, essentially, it's last touch. But this is the clarification. It's last touch by foot.
Okay.
So if you hit it with your hand, then nothing changes. But if you've kicked it, it doesn't need to be out on the full to be a free kick now. So essentially, if you've kicked it and it's bounce, bounce, bounce and gone out, the last player who touched it, the opposition gets a free instead of a throw-in. And we talked about this last week, but the issue where it's a tight game and it's coming down to the wire and they just keep pushing it to the boundary, that's going to basically be removed. So if you hit it out, the others get a free. You can't just stall play to try and buy out those 30, 60 seconds one after the other.
But it's only from the foot. It's not from the hand.
Not from the hand. And that's the difference. Yeah. In the W, I believe it's last touch, but in the men's, it's last touch by foot.
Interesting. It's almost like a sort of a weird hybrid of insufficient attempt.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So it's basically saying if you're in the center and you've hit it out, you have not made sufficient attempt to keep it in. That's basically the rule.
Okay.
From now on. And I've never thought of it that way. So that's actually a really great way of explaining it.
Yeah. Says I don't know rules.
Look at you. You're doing so well. And the other thing, there are two that we haven't covered yet. One is aligning the kick in time. There's this odd little quirk of, have you ever noticed how the umpires sometimes give people forever to kick the ball in and other times they don't?
Yeah.
It's because it's a judgment call, which traditionally has been either 8 or 12 seconds or 10, depending on what whether it's a free kick or a kick on goal. And I mean, obviously the goal kick has a different one, but whether it's a free kick or, you know, and they've changed that to align it from a mark or a free kick as the 8 seconds instead of the 12 because they want the game faster. Okay. The AFL want the game faster this year. And the very last rule, which
I actually like this rule.
This is my favorite change. No more ruck nominations. If you are not there, it's happening.
Because, I mean, how many times do you see they're going to reset the game and the umpires are calling, Sam, where are you? You know what I mean? Like, I think this is...
and everyone waits for someone to come from the other end of the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
So at the end of the day, the teams aren't going to be nominating rucks anymore when they throw up the ball at those times. If you're not there, it's happening without you.
And this isn't a new rule to the AFL, because this actually, the AFLW did this rule previously, didn't they? Yeah, the AFLW, it was in line with that.
So. Yeah. It's interesting seeing... The AFLW has become almost this trial, like the trial ground for some of these rules. And when they're successful, they run away with them, which is great. And look, I'm not going to go all keyboard warrior on this, and I'm not going to play that soundbite either. But like, I want to give this a chance to work. On first impressions, I think these are good changes.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be fast. It'll be fun. It'll be efficient. But,
and anything that makes the game more exciting is completely fine by me.
Yeah. But anyone listening, what are your thoughts? What do you think of the new rules? Do you like them, hate them, indifferent? Send us a text at 0427-569-949. We'd love to hear it.
And don't forget, if you download the app, you can just click contact us.
That's it.
All right. Now, that is probably that was a bit you know, that was a bit serious. I think we need to shake it off a little bit, as we tend to at this time of night. There is a very brief ad. And then one of my personal favorite Kesha songs, because it speaks to me on a really deep and emotional level.
Yeah.
Coming up after this message is Boy Crazy.
I'm boy crazy. I'm boy crazy. Crazy boy. I'm so boy crazy.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's Gay FL with Brendan and Chris. Now, we went into a little bit of a... Oh, you said it was a bit of a dry subject. I enjoyed it. I love what you had to say, though. You thought it was a little bit heavy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Look, we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Isaac Rankin... It's come up recently again. There was a couple of articles, a couple of clickbait articles.
Mm-hmm.
He appeared on Tommy Talks. There was a podcast that he appeared on in the last week where he did talk about his career. He talked about his upbringing. Mm-hmm. He had a tough upbringing for anyone that listened to it. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
There was a section, I'm thinking it's about an hour, where he talked about personal responsibility and he talked about the incident from last year.
And just recap what the incident was in case anyone missed it. I don't know how they would, but...
Anyone that missed it, last year during Adelaide versus Collingwood, it came out that Isaac Rankin had called another player, a Collingwood player, the F-slur.
Yeah, we're not going to say that on this time slot.
No. But we know, you know, it took Adelaide a couple of days, took them about 5 days to actually respond to it, and there was a lot of controversy. Mm. It was leading up. It had finals implications.
Yeah.
It was a huge thing. You know, everyone was coming out talking about it. People had different opinions.
Yeah.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. We made our opinions clear. It doesn't belong in a game like that.
Agreed.
Yeah, so that language doesn't belong in today's world, as far as I'm concerned. But so Isaac did this interview, and I originally, you know, I read the article, I saw the article, and I, you know, it was very clickbaity, and there was a couple of key quotes that came out of it where he talked about how hard he was in a very dark place. He talked about his going through depression. He talked about how he felt like he wanted to retire, like he felt like he was done. He wanted to give up.
And he's like 25.
He's 25, yeah. You know, as a young player.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he did come out and thanked everyone for his support. And he said that he was sorry to anyone he affected or caused havoc. He never meant to do that. Now, these are some quotes.
Yeah.
These are direct quotes.
Okay.
Now, taken out of context, mm-hmm. I've gone back and forth about this. Mm-hmm. I saw the clickbait article. I kind of rolled my eyes like, okay, we're not really taking responsibility. I'm playing a bit of a victim again. Read the quotes from the article. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And then actually listening to the full interview and listening to that segment.
Yeah.
I've kind of gone back to where I'm just like, okay.
It's actually, I'm interested to dive into this. We haven't talked about how we both feel about this, and I'm not necessarily sure we're going to be aligned, but I'm very interested to hear your thoughts as well. But I think for me, I'm going to level. I had anyone who was listening to us back then, I had a lot to say about this when it happened. One of the key things that stuck with me at the time was the F word that we were talking about was finals, and it shouldn't have been finals. It should have been the word that doesn't belong on the game. And there are certain protected categories, in my opinion, and race is one, gender is another, misogyny, like homophobia.
Basically bigotry.
Yeah, bigotry. It just doesn't belong in the game. But I was a little bit affronted at the time that they went too, when I say they, Adelaide, went too quickly to the mental health defense. And I am not making light of anyone who experiences mental health issues and how we know how stressful the game is and people have their own circumstances outside of the game. What I didn't like at the time was the response was about how it was impacting him, not how it impacted the community and our community that were actually affected at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, I definitely hear what he's saying, but... look, at the end of the day, I felt like, and I still feel like now I've gone back and forth, but now I kind of feel like, you know, oh boohoo, the consequences of my own actions.
Yeah. And he certainly missed the entire final series. You could argue either way that that's the reason Adelaide bowed out of finals in straight sets. We can debate that until, you know, just, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, it happened. Mm. I, like Isaac has expressed, have also had time to reflect on my thoughts at that time, and I think the dust has settled now. I'd like to say now, in this interview, he spoke about his impact on mental health, mainly because of things that was going on outside him, but also footy is his whole identity. And he was forced into the sidelines from a really successful year in what could have been for Adelaide. And that, I mean, yes, it's a harsh penalty to pay. It's 100% fair. I'm not going to shy away from that. But, you know, he had to kind of go within himself, he said, and kind of do a bit of self-reflection and a deep dive about once he got over the poor me and actually went, I can either sit there and choose to play the victim, or I can choose to be better and grow and learn from this. And I have also reflected on this in the same way and gone, I think now I'm ready to hear that he had mental health stuff going on. Now, you know, the dust has settled a bit. It's now a more appropriate time to have that conversation, but also to go, I'm kind of thinking this as I say it, I don't necessarily feel that one bad action should define him as a person or his career as a person.
No, absolutely. I agree. But I don't think, you know, we all have mental health struggles and not all of us are just randomly calling our coworkers the F-word.
Agreed.
And I feel like, personally, I just don't think he's reflected enough. I think he's been too self-victimizing. Maybe he's taken ownership. I don't know. I haven't spoken to the guy. But, you know, I saw he did an event last night with the Adelaide Crow, with the Rainbow Crows, which is the Adelaide Crows Queer Squad, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I just hope, I don't know, from the interview that I listened to, there's a lot of self-reflection on how much it affected him, which, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, the interviewer had to sort of prod him to get him to come back in line and
apologize again.
Maybe you should apologize to the people that you hurt because
whether
the AFL wants to hear it or not, there is a large LGBTQ plus queer fandom that love the game. And a lot of them do feel ostracized when the AFL turns around and takes such a long time to make a decision, and especially when they do a match last year after you know a former player was murdered and his partner was murdered, and they do a match in their honor, and then a player shouts a homophobic slur 2 weeks later, and there's no penalization for it. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, sometimes I look at it and I'm quite cynical and I think it's a lot of optics.
Yeah.
I will give Rankin the benefit of the doubt.
Agreed.
That's fine. I think everyone wants to move forward.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And everyone's congratulating him for this interview. Everyone's like, oh, that's great. You really talked about how it affected you. You talked about how you looked inside yourself and that sort of thing. But it's like, not really seeing a lot of, okay, I'm sorry towards, I'm sorry if, I hate that. I'm sorry if.
It's like, it offended people.
It upset people.
Yeah.
And the worst thing for me, it wasn't so much that it offended people. It was people in the comments that don't identify as part of the community, like turning our existence into a political debate again. All over again. Does politics belong in sport? Like, it's frustrating. Yeah. It's frustrating. And I'm so sick and tired of people who aren't a part of that, who aren't affected by it, jumping in and being like, oh, move on, snowflakes, blah, 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 sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're the biggest people that say politics shouldn't be in sport. We shouldn't include that. But God forbid we have a pride round for the AFL or there's a pride Guernsey or anything like that. They're the first people to say how, you know, it shouldn't be there. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and look, I don't disagree with anything you just said. I guess I'm slightly less cynical than you as a general rule, and maybe. But one of the things I've kind of reflected on and gone, as a community, do we want to tar him with this for the rest of his career, or do we want to give him the opportunity to be better?
I would love the opportunity for him to be better, but so far I haven't seen a lot of it.
Yeah, and that's fair. Yeah. And look, obviously this is a pretty, you know, heavy topic, and it's one that's, I think, close to a lot of our heart. So what I would like to do, thank you for sharing that with me, because we hadn't had a chance to talk about that, and we will talk about that more offline, I'm sure.
I feel like Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg.
I know, this has got a bit talk back, hasn't it? But there was another great apology that happened this week, just to lighten the mood a little bit. And this apology came from none other than the Collingwood Football Club. And you know I love to talk about the Collingwood Football Club.
Well, look, it's probably just a change for them. It's normally boys behaving badly.
Well, this time it was the whole club. No, so I'm sure you've seen it. This has been doing the rounds. Look, I just want to point out, I don't have a problem with a bequest program.
Yeah, all clubs have it. You go to every club website. Yeah.
But Collingwood decided, and I'd like to point out, Collingwood are not a club that's short of a dollar. Like, let's just, they have like one of the, I think they have the highest membership in the AFL. They are not short of a dollar. They are successful, and I don't object to them having a bequest club. I mean, even Essendon has one, I think.
Yeah, but you have to go looking for
it. You have to go looking for it. And unfortunately, someone in marketing, I assume, took it upon themselves at Collingwood to email out members of a certain demographic, and when I say the demographic, baby boomers, asking them to bequest some of their inheritance to Collingwood in their will, including detailed instructions of how to change your legal will.
I'm just cringing. Oh my gosh. And we know some people, there have been reports, people have come out. There was a horrible, somebody came out and said that their dad had got it to bequest his will to them. And their dad had died 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah. And the other thing is, like, I mean, I don't want to get too dark and deep and personal here, but I've lost close family members of that demographic to illness. And while they were struggling with what they were going through, if we had received a letter from this from an institution that we respect so much, I think it would have broken my mom.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was bad enough that we just got, like, bumper stickers. But I'm grateful that we just got bumper stickers and a badge, considering that, you know, Collingwood sent out little marketing materials with such phrases as ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the Collingwobbles are buried, and once again it's them against us.
I didn't even see that. Oh, that hurt me.
Oh my God. I don't know who thought this was a good idea.
Who approved this?
Okay. Let's renew your membership, and also here's instructions how to do your legal will. Oh my God. It's not the time and the place.
And I said Collingwood's not short of a buck, and let's not forget, this is not a charitable organization, a benevolent fund. It's not the NGV.
No, this is
a business that is sport.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, there's no problem. I have no problem.
Do it.
You go to every AFL club website.
Have a link on your website. Yeah.
But actually proactively sending them out to members of a certain demographic, mm-hmm. elderly or dead members, asking them to, put Collingwood in their will. I don't know. It just, somebody done goofed.
It did not sit well with me, and I suspect someone got fired over that. But we always get dark in break three. We always get really heavy and dark. I think
it's our thing. I think it's our little thing that we do.
It's our, I said all day, Elliot, I'd swear on air appropriately one time. We're doing a bit of a shit sandwich day.
We sure are.
And that's the only swear word I will drop in this episode, because these songs were censored, and that's why I did it. But speaking of songs, look, we don't have one coming up. There will be one at the end of the show. We're going to go to a brief message, and then we're going to come back with something a little bit lighter.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's GayFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris. And Chris, you got to go to a practice match on Friday.
I did. I had the day off, funnily enough. It was quite a coincidence. And I don't normally go to the hangar without you. It was a really odd experience. But thank you for everyone for making me feel welcome.
How was it? It looked like there was a really big crowd.
There was a huge crowd. It blew me away. Like, I there would have been a few thousand people there. I did not expect that.
There was a lot of people, and there was actually an interesting person in the crowd. Somebody managed to take a photo of Hawthorn. Our Hawthorn's coach, Sam Mitchell, was apparently there watching the Essendon boys.
Yeah, I must wonder. I didn't see him there, but I did. I couldn't help but hear a resounding,
"She doesn't even go here,"
when he came up on social media.
I mean, he was wearing, like, he was very inconspicuous with his big hat and glasses.
I think the only way it would have been better is if he had a novelty mustache on
and a trench coat.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe three people standing on top of each other. Yeah,
who is he? Carmen San Diego.
But look, I went to the game mainly to see some football, but also to see the rules in action. But we have so many young guys. I have a few reflections, and I'm just going to temper this by saying, I'm not getting ahead of ourselves. I liked what I saw from Essendon at that game. I really did. But we, let's not do what we do every year and decide we're going to win the flag and then bow out in round three.
Yeah.
But no, but the one thing I think, look, it was against Richmond, which I think was actually really good, because if you look at 2025 on paper, Richmond and Essendon were kind of in similar places, and we kind of had similar ladder positions last year. And I think that was a really good matchup to see. And look, honestly, full disclosure, first quarter, we came out doing what we've always done. It was rubbish. But quarter two and quarter three, and I'm saying this gently, was some of the best football I've ever seen us play.
Wow. And you were telling me there was quite a few highlights.
There were so many highlights. We won by 50 points. And in the last quarter, I think they took their foot off the gas. But the quarter two and three was, I think quarter two was like 7 or 8 goals to 1. Okay. I don't think I've ever seen us even land a 7-goal quarter. Wow. And look, it's a practice match. We don't put too much into it. But what I noticed and was some different plays, some different positions, some different matchups. And it was obviously the preseason, a great chance to try new things and see how things go. But what I'm saying is we mentioned multiple times on this show how we'll be keen to see how the new high-performance manager goes. The bodies and the condition and the way they held up, I was really – and the fitness, I was really genuinely impressed with that. The body on body, I was really impressed with.
Yeah.
I was impressed at the different – plays that were being run compared to previously. Some of our new guys, Hussein, I think his name is. He blew me away. He genuinely blew me away as a small forward. That's something we have been missing. And he was a revelation watching him play. Caddy was amazing, as he always is. Kakko was out. Merritt was out.
How was Jaden Ewan?
Jaden Ewan shocked me.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him play because he was only drafted recently, but he played defense and he's a little fella. And I was like, what are they doing sticking him down in defense? But wow, he's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's being mentored by Andy McGrath.
Yeah, one of my faves.
Yeah.
His style of play, there are a lot of things that are different, but the rundown tackle just was kind of reminiscent of like the Tipper type character where they're like a shark and they come out from the back and just take someone down because they're so fast.
How is Langers?
Langers is always good. They started him in full forward, but it didn't work, so they moved him out to half forward, much better.
He snapped a pretty pretty amazing.
That was right in front of me.
Yeah.
It was actually funny because he'd just been hardcore tackled. And then like,
who did it?
I was like, he tripped my boy. And then a minute later, he turned around and tackled his opposition who had just tackled him and got a free kick with a snap from the tightest angle right in front of me. Really great to see.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that I liked, this was the first game I've seen with us where everyone did well and everyone played their role. There were people that stood out.
It was like a school of fish.
But it was a school of fish. Yeah. I haven't seen us cohesively move and communicate and hit targets like that in a while. And it honestly was a joy to watch. And look, I don't say I dared a dream, but it gave me a little bit of hope that we might move up the ladder just a little bit this year. And that's making me want to tune in.
Yeah, interesting. I love it was a joy to watch. It certainly was.
Because football is supposed to be fun. I didn't enjoy a lot of the men's last season. I enjoyed the women's. So I'm really looking forward to getting amongst it this year. And there were a lot of practice matches, and I will level, I'm not across all of them, but I know there were some very interesting results in the North Melbourne, Kilda, Sydney, Brisbane, like camps. And so I think obviously they were practice matches. You can't put too much into it. Community series is this weekend. I think people are going to turn up a bit more for that. So I'm interested. The Essendon game is sold out. At Mars Stadium in Ballarat, yeah.
Yeah, oh, wow.
They're sold out.
Ballarat. Yeah,
yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm, but of course we are, 2 weeks or a week and a half away from the season proper from opening round.
It's insane. We've been talking about this for like 6 months. It's been 84 years and now the footy season's starting and I'm so excited.
I'm so here for it. I'm so excited for this season. And look, there's so many things. We talked about the rule changes. Don't forget the top 10 as well for the final.
Yeah, wild card.
Yeah, this is Survivor Season 41. They're just going to do, the director's wife said, why don't you do one my way?
Hey, look, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so I am keen for that. But that was my little Essendon preseason wrap. I talk a lot of smack about Essendon, and it was nice to say something nice about
it. It's with love. It's with love. Yeah. God, I don't want to go because it's so crazy. But, you know, I'm thinking of Tyra Banks yelling at Tiffany, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, God.
The only time my mum yelled at me is because she loved me. Like, that's Essendon. Like, we're all rooting for you. We'll have to get that in the hot keys.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to have to. And actually, you mentioned the hot keys because, you know, I'm about to play my second favorite hot key.
Oh.
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
We sure do on Stars Around. And we like to cover some of the random off-field stories that you may or may not have seen. And Brendan, I believe you have an interesting one for us this week.
Yeah, I think I actually have a couple. I had a bit of a lull at Nick from the former, you know, Draper Nick 200 plus podcast at the Captain's Day. Oh my God. How cute was it seeing all the captains sitting there and they're all, you know, they were sitting there with their Premiership Cup and all of them took photos. It was really cute seeing Andy holding the Premiership Cup and Toby, and they're all such little schoolboys. It was really cute. But there was a funny moment actually where Nick Butterfield from that podcast tried to give Andy a little bit of a handshake, and there was that awkward, like, you know, when you like try and shake a straight guy's hand.
That
and
is my biggest fear when a straight guy wants me to shake his hand, and I have no idea what he's doing.
That's what it was like. But I had to have a bit of a lull as well. There's a couple of other things, actually, a couple of other social things. Who was it? Dylan Patterson, who plays for Gold Coast, you know, young up-and-coming guy. Apparently.
Yeah.
He has a fan account, Dylan Patterson Admirers on Instagram, and he actually got the Instagram got a shout out from him where he thanked the page, 1996.
Ooh.
He thanked the Instagram for all the love and all the support, and
that's
he had
so
a little
sweet.
Little bit cheeky dig at the end where he said, "Get a job, bro." but one of my favorites, and this one only came up recently. It's been brought to our attention that there's going to be a Collingwood documentary on the Inside following the 2025 Ooh. Season. We haven't had a chance to watch the No Holds Barred, the GWS one, which I really want to watch.
Yeah.
We have to watch it. We'll watch it and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. But of course, GWS Giants, that social media, that sis is on the ball, so to speak. They released a fun little, and I'll share it on the socials, but they couldn't help but poke a little bit of shade with the Mr. Bean in the, you know, when he's at the exam and he's cheating and GWS were like, a docuseries covering the 2025 season. Hey, Collingwood doing like cheating off GWS's, off their exam. So I thought that was a little bit funny.
Yeah, absolutely. You delivered with the Stars Around this week. Those were great. I only have one, which is unusual for me.
It's a good one, though.
It is a good one. I have had a lot to say about fashion and football recently. Mm. Two of my favorite F words, that I can say in this time slot. And we actually, I don't know if you saw, there was a bunch of players following Jack Ginnivan's lead doing some catwalk work in a fashion show. And I know there were a few, and I've got a few of the names. I don't have all of them, but Mon Conti was there, one of the W Best in Fairest Award winners. Matilda Schultz, Jyath was there as well, and Cody Waitman, all strutting. The outfits were fire, actually.
Quina was there as well.
Yeah. I really liked the outfits.
Yeah,
there was some really cool stuff. And I love opportunities for players to build their brand off the field and to be seen in something other than kit, and to have these opportunities to make income and grow themselves and make that connection.
Yeah.
I really like that. And I just wanted to give that a quick shout out, but we are getting very short on time. And before we wrap, I actually wanted to, because we asked for text messages, we got two, and I do want to read them out because they're actually really interesting. The first one was just commenting about the rule changes. We were talking about that a little while ago, saying that there is potentially too much noise around the bounce change, although games will be faster because, you know, looking at State of Origin, if that was any indication, the changes will be interesting, and as long as they make the game faster and more exciting, but it will take some adjusting to win the crowds over, but time will tell. I think that's actually a really, really insightful comment, and I completely agree with that. And we actually got another one which made me giggle as well in regards to the Collingwood story about the bequests, saying right when they were rebuilding their image at a more positive light.
Look, Collingwood are a great team, but one thing you can count on is pre-season controversy.
I do love a bit of controversy. So thank you for texting us in. We do love making our social media two-way, just like the Stars Around player that you mentioned with his fan page. Yeah. And just a reminder, we are going to post our tipping competition. Please do join. It's just a bit of fun. It's not for prizes. It's just for the plot.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of fun. So if you're interested, please sign up. We'll put the details out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and tune in for 2 hours of us next week, 1 hour on Wellness Wednesday and 1 hour of GayFL coming up this time in a week.
Yeah. Now coming up next, History Repeating.
And coming up next, see you next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to GayFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at GayFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.